Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. Not only is this the beginning of the weekend, but it is the beginning of a long Labor Day holiday weekend for many of you. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us on this free-for-all Friday afternoon. Yeah, a lot of people have Monday off, so it's a long weekend. This is the unofficial and emotional end of summertime, so we say goodbye to the summer of 2024. I hope you have fond memories. As far as the show's concerned, the summer of 2024 was one hell of a summer in terms of topics and arguing and hate and all that kind of stuff. All right, we got a lot to talk about, but right now reach over there and crank it up because this is what you have been working for. If you are heading for the Gulf Coast beaches, I'll tell you what I saw last weekend and early this week. Of the states that you travel through from this area, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, the most active state troopers were in Florida. Now, that's not to say that they're not going to be active this weekend in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, but I'm just telling you what I saw recently. The most active state troopers were definitely in Florida. So, you know, if you really think about it, you know, you're not going to get there that much sooner if you really push it and really speed. And I got to tell myself that because, you know, I like to push 80. I mean, 70 miles an hour, I mean, I'm going with the traffic. I mean, I like to push 80, 82, 83, maybe, but I know that's the danger zone. So really, the best thing to do is to, in a 70 mile an hour speed zone, the best thing to do is to stay around 75, if the weather and if the traffic permits you to do 75. If not, then just drive with the flow of traffic. Do not tailgate. Man, you know, there's just a few feet between you and the car in front of you. And if you get a few feet closer, do you really think you're going to arrive at your destination that much sooner? You know, I'm not good with math or with physics, but I can tell you, I guarantee you, you're not going to get there that much quicker if you're tailgating. So, you know, be respectful. And if you're driving slower than the flow of traffic and you're in the left lane, then get over in the right lane. And, don't turn your hazard lights on. If it's raining really hard, if you can't handle it, then just, you know, pull over or get off at the next exit. I'm sure today, and I'm sure Monday, the exit at the Foley exit where Buc-ee's is in Alabama, I'm sure that's going to be a Charlie Foxtrot. It's going to be a total mess. But, I mentioned going there last weekend on a Saturday. It was not that crowded because, you know, people travel on Friday. They're there by Saturday. So Saturday was not that bad. But if you're going today and you want to stop at Buc-ee's, give yourself a little extra time to get off the interstate there and to get into the parking lot. Hey, we have a lot to get to this afternoon. The vice president, Democrat presidential nominee, Kamala Harris, had an interview with Dana Bash on CNN. It was her first real sit-down interview. And her vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, was sitting right next to her. I think it was Ben Shapiro who said that he was there to hump her leg if she got in any kind of trouble. And that's the second time I've heard somebody refer to somebody nearby as a leg humper. And I think somebody said something about, you know, they want Donald Trump wants his fans to hump his leg or something to that effect. I don't know. It's the second time I've heard that. But, you know, it's going to get a lot worse between now and November. So we're going to be prepared to deal with it. This is Free for All Friday, which means we can pretty much talk about anything you want to talk about. But if it's too boring for this Free for All Friday, we're not going to talk about it. Or if it's too serious, we're not going to talk about it. Now, in the early part of the show, we do have some more serious things to talk about. And so we'll try to get that out of the way and talk about more fun things later. So this is Labor Day weekend. Now, August the 15th through the 17th or 18th, I think it was the 15th or the 18th, yeah, 3 days, Woodstock took place in 1969, August the 15th, 16th, and 17th in upstate New York. Many of those same bands that appeared at Woodstock appeared at the New Orleans Pop Festival in Prairieville. Yeah, right up Airline Highway, right up the interstate. They appeared in Prairieville at the New Orleans Pop Festival this weekend, Labor Day weekend 1969. I was there. Some of you listening may have been there. So I thought it would be fun today to feature a lot of bumper music from the bands that performed at the New Orleans Pop Festival. And for those of you who are millennials, Zoomers, and Xers, and you're, you know, you were not around, you weren't there when this happened, I think you need to know that really this was a kind of a southern version of Woodstock. It's not talked about that often. But the bands, many of the bands, and all the big bands, like Janis Joplin, Jefferson Airplane, many of the top bands that were there at Woodstock, they came down here and they performed at the New Orleans Pop Festival Labor Day weekend, 1969. So we'll be talking about that. I've got a few stories that are memorable. One in particular involves the drinking of Jim Beam and Fresca. Fresca was sort of a cloudy, citrusy kind of drink. It wasn't 7-Up. It wasn't Mountain Dew. Fresca was kind of a cloudy, citrusy, lemon, lime kind of drink. And I combined those together and drank that in excess. And it was not good. And so to this day, I cannot drink Jim Beam or Fresca. Just the thought of that makes me sick. And I'm sure for you, there was something that you have gotten really drunk on, and to this day, you can't drink it. I mean, I don't drink whiskey now anyway, so there's no chance of me drinking Jim Beam. But I can't even look at a Fresca without thinking about that moment. And I'm sure there's stuff that you got so drunk on, you can't drink it to this day. All right, again, a lot to get to this afternoon. And, you know, I wrote a blog. It's posted on the website. It also should be on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And it's about why people believe Trump's just obnoxious lies that are so easily proven false. You know, I respect the people who are going to vote for Donald Trump. You've got your reasons for voting for Donald Trump. This is America. You can vote for whoever the hell you want to vote for. But I have a difficult time respecting people who believe the blatant lies. And there are people who do. And some of them call this show. Some of them post things on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And they are absolutely convinced that these things that Donald Trump says, which are outright lies, they believe the stuff. And why do they believe it? They believe it just because Donald Trump said it. And he continues to say the same lies over and over again. And there is that idea that if you continue to repeat a lie enough, then people believe it's a fact. Well, that shouldn't be. Again, if you want to vote for Donald Trump, vote for Donald Trump. But don't be one of those people who believe his lies. So we're going to talk about that. Also, there was a controversy when the LSU basketball team was in the locker room. This was in the game before. This was right before the game with the Lady Hawkeyes of Iowa. And the Lady Hawkeyes were out on the court during the playing of the national anthem. LSU, the Lady Tigers, were in the locker room. That has been a tradition for LSU. Well, right-wing radical governor Jeff Landry made a big deal about this, again, trying to get national headlines. Remember, this guy's trying to get national headlines. I don't know if he really cares about being governor of Louisiana, because he keeps doing things to get national headlines that don't serve Louisiana. So as long as people can remember, the LSU football team has been in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. It's not disrespectful. It's just that that's their routine before a game. And so Jeff Landry wanted to make a big deal about nothing once again. And he starts talking about how he's issuing this order to have the teams, all Louisiana athletes, all college athletes, have to be present on the court or on the field during the playing of the national anthem, or they lose their athletic scholarships. This was last April. Well, LSU reacted with a statement saying, "We're not changing. They're not changing their routine." So, you know, this, again, makes Jeff Landry look like a big buffoon. You know, coming up with this idea, want to rob the students of their scholarships trying to make a big deal about, well, they're not respecting the flag. You know, Landry, there are a lot of ways to be patriotic. There are a lot of ways to respect the flag. And LSU, staying in the locker room, if that's part of their routine, man, you should keep your nose out of their business. And don't threaten to take away scholarships because people aren't doing just what you want them to do. And here's the problem with right-wing radicals. They're trying to tell you and me how to lead our lives. Get out of my life. Leave me the hell alone. And leave LSU athletes alone. If it's their routine to be in the locker room, let them be in the locker room. And Sunday night in Vegas, they're supposed to be in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. This is not disrespecting the flag. And these criticisms of this lack of patriotism in America, you know, following a routine like this is not being unpatriotic. Defying the Constitution, that's being unpatriotic, in my opinion. And Jeff Landry seems to be doing that without any problem. So, man, I think it's fine if LSU players are in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. How do you feel about that? The Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. All right, Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. How are we today?
Good. Hey, it was a close one at Yeoman Stadium last night.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, wow. Tulane beat Southeastern 52-0.
Wow.
The losing coach said, darn, if we only had punted in the third quarter.
Yeah.
No, that was just a wipeout. Tulane is off to a great start. And, you know, their new coach said, hey, you know, some things are going to go wrong because it's the first game of the season. It's the first time he's coaching Tulane in a regular season game. So a lot went right. And a really exciting game last night between North Dakota State and Colorado in Colorado. And Coach Prime, who's now got like a gray Santa Claus kind of beard going, he did a good coaching job because it was really close at halftime. It was a good game that went back and forth. And the Colorado Buffaloes, they put it together in the end and won the game. I think it was 31-26. So North Dakota State did a good job, and at times they were actually beating Colorado at home. All right, for those of you who may not have been with us yesterday, I posted the SOTA rules for calling into our show here on WWL. They're posted. The rules are posted on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. You can read them. You can comment on it if you like. I'm going to share a lot of comments from the Facebook page during the show today. But there are some things that I just really wanted to set straight with callers, because a lot of people who call this show don't seem to understand the basics. And so I sort of underscore all of that in the rules for calling into the show. So check that out. All right, let's get to some early texts before we take our first break on this Free for All Friday.
Here's a text that says, these are the facts. Inflation was at 1.4% when Trump left office. Under Biden-Harris, it exploded. Now she has the nerve to claim that inflation is coming down because of her, but it is still at 3%. That's more than double what it was under Trump. Are you going to discuss these facts and present the truth today to your listeners?
Yeah, of course. Well, there was the pandemic. There were a lot of things that happened. The economy is cyclical. I don't know what she could do as vice president about the economy. You know, everybody's talking about, well, why didn't she do this as vice president? What do vice presidents do? What did Mike Pence do? He was Trump's vice president. Did he do anything? No. What did Dan Quayle do when he was vice president? Vice presidents don't really do anything, except in the case of Dick Cheney, and he pretty much ran the George W. Bush administration. But, you know, that's a story for another program. But, you know, the economy is cyclical, and we've talked about this. If you choose not to believe it, then that's okay. But presidents don't have that much to do with the economy and inflation, not as much as a lot of people believe. And again, vice presidents don't really do anything. They're not really in charge of policy. They're not really in charge of things. So, there's that. A really simple answer to a question.
Yeah, like if we can compare and contrast everybody's, you know, economic policies and records, but if you're just going to memory hole the pandemic and pretend like it didn't happen. Like, inflation was at 1.4% when Trump left office. So what, we're talking like January 2021? We'd had the vaccine for like 30 days in January 2021. So if you could look at the Saints' record on any given year and say, oh, the Saints lost 8 games. What do you think about that? Well, was Drew Brees playing in those 8 games, or yeah, did we have somebody else? It's pretty stupid to ask that question without the context.
Another thing. And explain this to me. If Donald Trump was so great, if America was so great in 2020, why did he lose? Don't forget, he lost the election. And a lot of the votes for Joe Biden were not votes for Joe Biden. They were votes against Donald Trump. So if everything was so great, why did he lose?
Here's a text that says, oh, this is Frank in Long Island. He said, oh my God, the CNN host did a good job last night, except for one thing. She forgot to bring the salad dressing. She said she's going to prosecute illegal immigrants on the first day in office. Oh, please remind me, what is her present employment? And when the governor was asked a question about taking a gun into a war, he says that his wife tells him he's got a grammar problem. Really? Is America going to buy all this crap? Come on, Saints, we need you.
Yeah, well, the Saints start next weekend, so we're not talking about that. But LSU is playing this weekend. We will be talking about that that this afternoon. But, you know, look, I saw most of the highlights of the debate, and I thought Dana Bash did a good job, but nothing really came out of that interview. And that's kind of embarrassing on the part of Dana Bash.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to have an interview, a sit-down like that, you should reveal something. If you're a really, really good journalist, a really good reporter, you're going to get something out of that person that they were not expecting. And really nothing big came out of that interview. So in that sense, it was a whitewash.
Here's a text that says, just got off to the Causeway Bridge. Tell people to put on their headlights. It's raining and it's real dark on the bridge.
Yeah, I find that amazing that that people will drive around in rain when visibility is limited and they don't even turn their headlights on. So, you know, again, this is the world we live in, which is why you got to be really careful out there driving.
This text says, hey, Pence did refuse to go along with Trump's January 6th plot. That's the only nice thing I can say about him.
Yeah, well, I agree. But the point is, Pence did not have policies. And so all of the right wingers who are criticizing Kamala Harris for her policies when she was vice president, that's stupid. Vice presidents don't have policies. Vice presidents don't put in place policy. That's up to the president. They can advise the president, but they're not in charge of anything. But you've got all these right wingers, you know, blabbing away about stuff. And it shows a sign of stupidity.
Let's just shine a little light on something else. A lot of people this week were asking why Kamala Harris couldn't do the CNN interview without Tim Walz there, as if that was something terribly different than what we've had in the past. If that's been a question or a criticism that you've had of this ticket this week, I'm going to hold your hand while I tell you this. Coming out of every convention, Republican or Democrat, going back for like the last 20 years, tradition holds that the first interview is a joint interview. This was true for McCain Palin. This is true for Obama Biden. This is true for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. This is true for Donald Trump and Mike Pence. This is true for Hillary Clinton and Tim McCain. This is true for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And yeah, indeed, it was true for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. They always do this.
Get over it. Get over this false, superficial criticism. If you can't find something of substance to criticize, then don't criticize. But again, people are being brainwashed. They're listening to a few people who say something and they believe it as fact, or they think that it's extraordinary when it's not extraordinary. It's just part of politics, and it's been part of politics in the past. And this whole idea about, well, what did she do as vice president? I mean, that's one of the most ridiculous things that I've ever heard, because vice presidents are not in charge of policy. It's Labor Day weekend. If you want to join us with a comment, let's have fun with this. And if we're gonna disagree, let's have fun with it. The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. The New Orleans Pop Festival took place this weekend in Prairieville, Louisiana. It was at the Louisiana Speedway, which I don't think is still there. But this was an event that was really a southern version of Woodstock. And a lot of the performers at Woodstock, August 15th, 16th, and 17th, came down here Labor Day weekend, participated in the New Orleans Pop Festival. And we're gonna play some of the songs from some of the performers at the New Orleans Pop Festival throughout the show. And one of them was Oliver. I mean, this was a real hippie song. You know, Oliver, good morning, starshine. Yeah, this was all, hippie beads and sunflower seeds. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to be a rainy afternoon, and if you're heading for the Gulf Coast beaches, I hope the weather turns out to be okay for you. And look, I love the beach even in the rain. And I think there's that holiday, maybe it's not a Holiday Inn anymore, but there used to be a Holiday Inn on the east side of Santa Rosa Island, Navarre Beach. And at that hotel, they had an indoor pool, which I always thought was cool because, you know, summertime you can always run into showers and it's, cool for the kids and everybody if there's an indoor pool. Hey, Ian, look, I need you to come in here and get the phone number of somebody that we are going to talk to here in just a minute. This is a local person who was at Woodstock, whose band performed at Woodstock. And this is the weekend of the New Orleans Pop Festival happened this weekend. In 1969, I was there, and some local bands played on the first day. And I want to give you the phone number of this person. So can you come in here and grab
just,
this?
Just give it to me off the air real quick.
Okay. All right. Hold on one second. All right. So I'll let the song play for a second.
Yeah.
All right. This is we're gonna try to talk to Deacon John. Deacon John was at Woodstock. I keep saying Woodstock. It was the New Orleans Pop Festival. A lot of people from Woodstock were here. But the first day of the New Orleans Pop Festival in Prairieville, Louisiana, just up the road from New Orleans, a lot of local bands played. And some of you might even remember some of these names. There was a band, a rather popular local band called White Fox. And they performed. And those guys were good. Snow Rabbit. And Deacon John and the Electric Soul Train performed at Woodstock on the first day. It was August 30th, 1969. So we're going to try and get Deacon John. I've got his number. Okay. Hi, Deacon John joins us on WWL. Deacon, welcome to the show.
It ain't easy in the Big Easy, baby.
I know. Listen, what do you remember from the New Orleans Pop Festival in 1969?
All I remember, it was the greatest pop festival New Orleans ever put on.
Well, you know, I mean, Deacon, it was like...
It was the first one.
I know. And, like, the bands from Woodstock, they left New York. They came down. They came down here 2 weeks after Woodstock. They're performing here in the New Orleans area.
Yeah, man. I was so glad to be a part of it because in New Orleans, I was known as the New Orleans Jimi Hendrix. I got a chance to play Foxy Lady.
All right.
I'm coming to get you.
You know, Deacon.
And let me stand next to your fire.
I love that you are so alive. You have such a great attitude, and you're still performing, and you still sound great.
Oh, yeah. I finally outlived the competition.
Deacon,
it's down the tube. It's me and Scoot.
You know, I know. Like, after all these years, you and I are still doing it, right?
Yeah, that's right, man.
Yeah. So what recollection do you have of being on stage and the crowd at the New Orleans Pop Festival?
Oh, man, that was, a thrill of a lifetime. You know, I didn't think I was going to get booked on it, but then I did, But it was like a real thrill of a lifetime to play an outdoor festival with a crowd like that.
Well, back in 1969.
You know, I played little gigs around time, you know.
In 1969.
Yeah, I played little gigs around town, you know, but nothing like this.
Right. A big outdoor concert was still a unique thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a Lovin' at Audubon Park.
Oh, my God. You know, look, Deacon, I think you're like me, man. I mean, we're both lucky to be alive.
Oh, yeah. Memories like the corners of my mind.
I know. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but you did a cover a couple of years ago. You did a cover of the Crowded House song, Don't Dream It's Over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that group, man. Well, I called my CD Crowded Shotgun House. Because I grew up in a crowded shotgun house with my 12 brothers and sisters.
Oh, my God, what a story.
So we called it Crowded Shotgun House. But, you know, those guys are one of the greatest lyricists and songwriters, man.
I think it's amazing that you you've gotten into and you respect music that is newer, and it just goes to show you've got a young soul.
You
got a young soul.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Still performing today. Love when I can get out and hear you. And you know, I mean, you could still hit those high notes, Deacon.
Oh yeah, there ain't many of us left.
Well, Deacon, it's been great to just have a conversation with you about that. We're kind of talking about the Pop Festival in 69.
It's so great, you know, to talk to you again, man.
Well, let's
the last time I saw you was at Jefferson Parish across the street from the baseball stadium.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Me and Irma Thomas came over.
We had a conversation there. Deacon John, man, you're a treasure in New Orleans. It's great that you're still performing, and I love you just sharing some thoughts about the New Orleans Pop Festival, and you were there this week in 1969.
Yeah, I'm a legend in my own mind now.
Yeah. All right, Deacon, well, have a great afternoon. Stay alive, and I'll see you soon.
Oh, you too, man. You made my day, man.
Okay. All right. Deacon John, for many years it was Deacon John and the Ivories, and they played at the Sands on Airline Highway, and they were just such a big band. And man, Deacon John, he can sing. He can still sing. And you know, he was there at Woodstock. I'm not Woodstock. I keep saying Woodstock. I've got to get that out of my mind. But it was comparable to Woodstock because Janis Joplin and Iron Butterfly, Santana. Jefferson Airplane, the Youngbloods, all these bands that were at Woodstock had come down here, and they were performing at the New Orleans Pop Festival in Prairieville. And, you know, a lot of people, especially people who are younger and who have moved here more recently, may not even know that event happened. So it's fun talking about that. So love talking to Deacon John about that. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And if you were there and have any memories of the New Orleans Pop Festival, love to talk to you. My memories are kind of sketchy because of some pretty serious drinking. I was too nerdy back in those days to do drugs. I didn't even smoke pot back in those days. So I was pretty nerdy, so I was just pretty much hitting the bottle. I'm not proud of that, but it's something that I did do, and I have some regrets about that because I missed a few good bands because I was passed out in the backseat of a car. And Janis Joplin literally woke me up. It was the horns of Big Brothers Holding Company that actually woke me up from the backseat of the car from my drunken stupor. And I woke up, and I got to see Janis Joplin, but I'm not even sure who I missed. All right, we're also talking about politics. There was the interview last night on CNN. I wasn't really that impressed. I thought Dana Bash was going to be a little more cutting edge in that interview. And when you've got a chance like that and you don't come away with something new, if something new doesn't come out of the interview, then you did not do a good job as an interviewer. If you've got a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. This is another band that was at the New Orleans Pop Festival Labor Day weekend 1969. The band was just one of those hippie bands that really didn't go much farther than doing some festivals early in their career. But this is the band It's a Beautiful Day. And the song that they did, which was a big song, was White Bird. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. Another one of the iconic bands that performed at the New Orleans Pop Festival in Prairieville this weekend, Labor Day weekend 1969, was the Byrds. It is a free-for-all Friday. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's get to some of your calls, and let's go to New Orleans and Janine. You're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. This is Janine. How are you?
I'm good. Pronounce your name for me.
Janine.
Janine. Okay. I thought I had it right.
Yes, you did. Thank you. I was just calling to thank you for having a conversation with the great Deacon John.
Oh, my God. He's so alive.
Yes, he is. Just as always. And yeah. Oh, what a treat to hear you speak with him. He played at my high school ring dance in 1972.
Wow.
And I kept asking him, I was telling Ian, I kept asking him to play Mean Mistreater by Grand Funk. And he kept putting me off. And at the very end of it, he played it.
Oh, cool.
And it was just so special. And what I didn't get to tell Ian was when everyone was leaving and he was leaving, I asked if I could take a picture with him. And he stood next to me, and as my friend Paula took the picture, he turned to me and he kissed me on the cheek, which I was like, I must have talked about this for the next 30 years, but it was just so special. But the photo got lost in Katrina, but still the memory's there. Wow. So.
Janine, I'm glad you enjoyed the conversation. I mean, I run into him once in a while. I love running into him, and you know, he and I are both doing what we love doing all these years later, and he still sounds great. He still looks great, and yeah, that was a fun conversation because he was there the opening day of the New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend 1969. He was part of it.
Tremendous. Oh, well, I appreciate both of you. Thank you so much.
All right, Janine, thanks for listening. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Hey, Janice.
Yes, good. I'm going to make this as quick as possible.
Oh, thank
you. Well, let me say, first of all, I wish I knew, you know, Miss Julie was on Facebook or something so I could, you know, get in touch with her, but I guess I'll never, you know, have any way of finding that out. But anyway, I wanted to just mention two things I heard about yesterday that a lot of people most probably don't know about. In California, they had 20 migrants attempting to get on a school bus with the children when they were picking children up to bring them home and everything. Now, that definitely would be wrong. And somebody had said that who knows what the reasoning is behind that. Maybe it's just transportation, or maybe they'd like to overpower the school bus driver and traffic the children. Who knows? Then in Colorado, they have armed gangs of illegals, Venezuelans, that are going to apartment buildings and trying to take them over, scaring the hell out of the people living there at the apartment buildings and everything. I think they might be bringing weapons with them. So that's two big things that are going on here in this country by people that have crossed over that border that shouldn't even be in this country. And like I said, I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, I just found out yesterday and a lot of people might not even know about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do know about that if it's true. I don't know. It might be exaggerated. I don't know. I'm going to have to look at
that. I don't think it's exaggerated.
Well, I know
you
don't.
You can even look it up on the Internet.
I will. I don't have a chance to do it right this moment.
I mean,
but
I could send it to you if you'd
Janice,
open the email.
I mean, give me a little credit here, okay? Give me a little credit.
I'd be glad to send it to you.
You have lied and exaggerated a lot of things on this show. And so let me finish, Janice.
If I've lied, I want you to know that if I have, it was never deliberately. I never set out to do that, okay?
Okay, well, you have a tendency to believe what the hell you want to believe. And you don't always research it because you don't care if it's what you want to believe.
I did research.
So
I mean,
when you tell me something, I have to look it up. That's not my fault. It's your fault for constantly sending me stuff and telling me things on the air that are not necessarily accurate. So we'll look it up.
I will send it to you. Okay, have a good day.
And I'll be very interested in seeing what the source is. I mean, it's not my fault. I mean, Janice has created this ability to the desire, the need to question her, because a lot of what she sends me, I mean, I've started deleting her emails because I'm tired of the BS. And there are people who find these sites and they're stories that are not necessarily true. They're clickbait stories. And if people choose to believe it, that's fine. But if you're going to call this show and you're not a credible source, and Janice is not a credible source for information, if you're not a credible source, we're going to question you.
We have to say this all the time, but people still don't think are realizing the scope of it. There is a whole economy of websites that do nothing but crank out articles to scare little old ladies, and they have become exceedingly efficient at it. The mayor of Aurora, Colorado, and the mayor of Denver, Colorado, have now had to get out in front of the story and say it's all being wildly exaggerated on conservative fake news sites. It's actually making it harder for us to arrest these people. There are gang members in these cities, but they're not taking over apartment buildings
you
and turning them into little Venezuelas.
You
it's
see,
ridiculous.
Janice, you see, this is why we have to question the BS that you call in with. You have created a situation where we have to question you because you're not credible, because you're a bitter lady. You're older in years, obviously, and you're scared. And I guess I should pity you because you're so damn scared of everything. But, you know, you sit in front of your computer. That's all you do all day. You have no other responsibilities except taking care of the house. And you sit there and you search these bogus websites and you find this BS and you call the show with it like it's breaking freaking news. So you have created this antagonistic situation, not me. All right. Here's another band that performed at the New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend, 1969. 3 days of like nonstop music. And some of you listening might actually remember being there. Might remember part of it. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On this day in 1975, on the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar, this was the number one song in the country. 1975, disco was just really starting the peak. It wasn't the peak, but this was just really the beginning of the peak, and this was one of the early disco songs we were dancing to. I'm Scoot on the Air. Really glad you're with us. Hey, are you okay that LSU is defying Governor Jeff Landry? I mean, he's got to be a little hurt by this because he thinks he's pretty damn powerful and can, you know, wave his magic wand and make people do what he wants them to do. And LSU's saying, no, it's our routine to be in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. We respect the flag, but we're going to be in the locker room. And Jeff Landry was threatening to work out a plan for student athletes to lose their athletic scholarships if they were in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. This is false patriotism. And this right-wing radical, who is our governor, is full of false patriotism. I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be back with a lot more on Free for All Friday on WWL. Another one of the iconic bands that performed at the New Orleans Pop Festival in Prairieville this weekend, Labor Day weekend 1969, was the Byrds. It is a Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot on the Air. Let's get to some of your calls, and let's go to New Orleans and Janine. You're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. This is Janine. How are you?
I'm good. Pronounce your name for me.
Janine.
Okay. I thought I had it right.
Yes, you did. Thank you. I was just calling to thank you for having a conversation with the great Deacon John.
Oh, my God. He's so alive.
Yes, he is. Just as always. And, what a treat to hear you speak with him. He played at my high school ring dance in 1972.
Wow.
And I kept asking him, I was telling Ian, I kept asking him to play Mean Mistreater by Grand Funk, and he kept putting me off. And at the very end of it, he played it.
Oh, cool.
And it was so special. And what I didn't get to tell Ian was when everyone was leaving and he was leaving, I asked if I could take a picture with him. And he stood next to me, and as my friend Paula took the picture, he turned to me and he kissed me on the cheek, which I was like, I must have talked about this for
the next 30 years, but it was just so special. But the photo got lost in Katrina, but still the memory's there. Wow.
Janine, I'm glad you enjoyed the conversation. I mean, I you know, run into him once in a while. I love running into him, and you know, he and I are both doing what we love doing all these years later, and he still sounds great. He still looks great, and yeah, that was a fun conversation because he was there the opening day of the New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend, 1969. He was part of it.
Tremendous. Oh, well, I appreciate both of you. Thank you so much.
All right, Janine, thanks for listening. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Hey, Janice.
Yes, good. I'm going to make this as quick as possible.
Oh, thank
you. I just wanted, yeah. Well, let me say, first of all, I wish I knew, you know, if Miss Julie was on Facebook or something so I could, you know, get in touch with her, but I guess I'll never, you know, have any way of finding that out. But anyway, I wanted to just mention two things I heard about yesterday that a lot of people most probably don't know about. In California, they had 20 migrants attempting to get on a school bus with the children when they were picking children up to bring them home and everything. Now, that definitely would be wrong. And somebody had said that who knows what the reasoning is behind that. Maybe it's just transportation, or maybe they'd like to overpower the school bus driver and traffic the children. Who knows? Then in Colorado, they have armed gangs of illegals, Venezuelans, that are going to apartment buildings and trying to take them over, scaring the hell out of the people living there at the apartment buildings and everything. I think they might be bringing weapons with them. So that's two big things that are going on here in this country by people that have crossed over that border that shouldn't even be in this country. And like I said, I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, I just found out yesterday and a lot of people might not even know about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do know about that if it's true. I don't know. It might be exaggerated. I don't know. I'm going to have to look it up.
I don't think it's exaggerated.
Well, I know
you
don't.
You can even look it up on the Internet.
I will. I don't have a chance to do it right this moment.
I mean,
but
I could send it to you if you'd open the email.
I mean, give me a little credit here, okay? Give me a little credit.
I'm glad to send it to you.
You have lied and exaggerated a lot of things on this show. And so let me finish, Janice.
If I've lied, I want you to know that if I have, it was never deliberately. I never set out to do that, okay?
Okay, well, you have a tendency to believe what the hell you want to believe. And you don't always research it because you don't care if it's what you want to believe.
I did research.
So
I mean,
when you tell me something, I have to look it up. That's not my fault. It's your fault for
that's
constantly sending me stuff and telling me things on the air that are not necessarily accurate. So we'll look it up.
I will send it to you. Okay, have a good day.
And I'll be very interested in seeing what the source is. I mean, it's not my fault. I mean, Janice has created this ability to the desire, the need to question her, because a lot of what she sends me, I mean, I've started deleting her emails because I'm tired of the BS. And there are people who find these sites and they're stories that are not necessarily true. They're clickbait stories. And if people choose to believe it, that's fine. But if you're going to call this show and you're not a credible source, and Janice is not a credible source for information, if you're not a credible source, we're going to question you.
We have to say this all the time, but people still, I don't think, are realizing the scope of it. There is a whole economy of websites that do nothing but crank out articles to scare little old ladies, and they have become exceedingly efficient at it. The mayor of Aurora, Colorado, and the mayor of Denver, Colorado, have now had to get out in front of the story and say it's all being wildly exaggerated on conservative fake news sites. It's actually making it harder for us to arrest these people. There are gang members in these cities, but they're not taking over apartment buildings and turning them into little Venezuelans.
You see, Janice? You see, this is why we have to question the BS that you call in with. You have created a situation where we have to question you because you're not credible, because you're a bitter lady. You're older in years, obviously, and you're scared. And I guess I should pity you because you're so damn scared of everything, But, you know, you sit in front of your computer. That's all you do all day. You have no other responsibilities except taking care of the house. And you sit there and you search these bogus websites and you find this BS and you call the show with it like it's breaking freaking news. So you have created this antagonistic situation, not me. All right. Here's another band that performed at the New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend, 1969. 3 days of like nonstop music. And some of you listening might actually remember being there. Might remember part of it. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On this day in 1975, on the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar, this was the number one song in the country. 1975, disco was just really starting the peak. It wasn't the peak, but this was just really the beginning of the peak, and this was one of the early disco songs we were dancing to. I'm Scoot on the Air. Really glad you're with us. Hey, are you okay that LSU is defying Governor Jeff Landry? I mean, he's got to be a little hurt by this because he thinks he's pretty damn powerful and can, you know, wave his magic wand and make people do what he wants them to do. And LSU saying, no, it's our routine to be in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. We respect the flag, but we're going to be in the locker room. And Jeff Landry was threatening to work out a plan for student athletes to lose their athletic scholarships if they were in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. This is false patriotism. And this right-wing radical, who is our governor, is full of false patriotism. I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be back with a lot more on Free for All Friday on WWL.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.